Psalm 1. Psalm 1 and verse number 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Praise God. So we're going to look at this psalm here, the Psalm 1, and also Psalm 112, which basically says the same thing at the beginning. Blessed is the man. And of course, that would apply to the women as well. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman. Well, we all want our lives to be blessed, don't we? Right? We want to walk in the blessings of God in every area of our life. We can. How many believe that there is such a thing as the blessing of God? And how many of us believe that it's something to be desired? You know, that the blessing of the Lord over your life can make a huge difference in your life. Amen. You know, that there were people in the Old Testament that valued the blessing. I think about Jacob and Esau. You know, Esau despised his father's blessing. In other words, when he said the word despise there means he didn't think that much about it. He thought, you know, well, I can make my own way. I can live a good life. I don't need that. But Jacob, on the other hand, he sought after that blessing, didn't he? He wanted that birthright blessing that his father Isaac would bestow on him because he valued it. Well, how much more should we value the blessing of God in our lives and over our families and over our finances and over our health and over our children, over every area of our life? We want that. We want to be blessed also so that we can be a blessing. We want to be able to make a difference in the world. We want to have a positive impact in the world. Well, that comes. God told Abraham, "I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing." How many know that Abraham had a blessing or had an impact on this world?
Amen.
He sure did. Well, how did he have that? Because God blessed him so that he could be a blessing. Amen? We want that. Praise God. And these two psalms, Psalm 1 and Psalm 112, give us a pattern of how to enter in and walk in that blessing. So we're calling this today, How to Live the Blessed Life. How to Live the Blessed Life. Praise God. And in this psalm, first of all, he tells us where not to walk, to stand, or to sit. He says, again, look in verse 1, he says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." The number one way that we're exposed to counsel, he said, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And the number one way that we're exposed to counsel in our lives, that's input, that's somebody speaking into our lives. The number one way, it seems like today, of course, is through media, social media, television, radio, podcasts, the books we read. All of that is a voice or voices speaking counsel into people's lives. And we have to make a decision. We have to choose and choose wisely what input are we going to allow through our social media interaction, through television that we watch, radio that we listen to, podcasts we hear, other type books we read, all of that. What is influencing us? What kind of counsel are we receiving with all of that? And we could add this in for those younger people or not, perhaps there's older people in school as well. So whatever your academic situation is, your education, that's also bringing counsel into your life. Amen. And ungodly counsel, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, ungodly counsel would be any counsel that's contrary to the Word of God. Some of this is quite obvious, but a lot of it is subtle that we have to watch out for. an example of ungodly counsel would be someone, maybe you've been wronged, maybe you've been betrayed, maybe something bad has happened to you, been inflicted on you by another person. Ungodly counsel would come along and say, hey, you need to get even with them. You need to cut them off out of your life. You need to shun them. You need to get even with them. Yeah, get evil with them. Get even with them. Freudian slip there. The Word of God teaches us to do what? To forgive. To forgive. Amen? And there's a lot of things in what I would call popular psychology that I would consider. Now, I'm not against counseling, so don't. I think there's great value in godly counseling and a lot of good counselors out there. But a lot of things in popular psychology that I would consider the counsel of the ungodly. Ideas that give more credence to our feelings. Well, you're feeling this way. Your feelings are telling you to do this. You should follow your feelings. Well, I feel it. Listen, following your feelings is a recipe for disaster. How many of you know you can't follow your feelings? Yes, we have feelings, but we can't be led and controlled by our feelings. Amen. And I see that. I hear that a lot in popular psychology about giving such credence and priority to our feelings. I would consider that ungodly counsel that we need to be careful about. Amen. Anything that produces fear and defeat is ungodly counsel. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, he said, I would rather have a church full of dope peddlers than doubt peddlers. He said, at least you know what you got on your hands with dope peddlers and you can get them to repent. Amen. But doubt peddlers think they just go right along. And that's where the danger is. So when we think of ungodly counsel, we say, well, I'm just going to listen to folks inside the church. Well, that may not be all you need to do. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of unbelief that we can espouse. Book of Hebrews calls unbelief evil. Beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, it says. So if we want to be blessed, and we do, right? Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he says, nor stand, if we can put that verse up, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does what? Stands in the path of sinners. So that's the second place. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand. You see, we're slowing down already. We're walking, then we start standing, and then eventually we sit. So, nor stand in the path of sinners. And then the third thing he says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Let's read this in God's Word translation. I like it in God's Word. Blessed is the person who does not follow the advice of wicked people, take the path of sinners, or join the company of mockers. So he tells us not to stand in the way of sinners or take the path of sinners. The Amplified Bible adds this. It says, blessed is the man who does not stand submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk. Now, we're going to be in this world, we're going to be around sinners. We're going to be around people that aren't saved. We're going to be around people that don't acknowledge God, right? We can't take ourselves out of the world. In fact, we are to be salt and light in the world. Amen. But in that scenario, we're not to be submissive and inactive in regard to them. One way that we stand, and the church has stood, unfortunately, submissive, is going along with what the Bible clearly calls sinful, because you don't want to be labeled as a hater or as a bigot or as a transphobe or whatever other phobe you want to put on there. You know, there's so much. You can't escape it. This month is what everybody wants. It's Pride Month. Well, it's not just pride. It's people taking pride in a perverse behavior that is contrary to the Word of God, homosexuality, and every other thing that stems from that, that's being celebrated. Well, what should we do as Christians? Should we just keep our mouth shut? Well, Pastor, Jesus would love them. Well, yes, it's not mutually exclusive to love someone and to declare the truth of God's word. You know, if someone's driving down the road and you know the bridge is out down the road, are you going to say, "Oh, go right on, we celebrate you"? No, you're going to try to say, "Hey, don't go down this road, the bridge is out." Which is love. That's love, right? Amen. To warn someone of imminent danger. That's love. And so the church, we can walk in love and we can stand for the truth at the same time. Amen. Amen. So don't stand. He says that's standing submissive and inactive. Don't do that. If you want to live the blessed life, don't stand submissive and inactive in the path that sinners walk in. And then he says, don't join the company of mockers here in the verse in God's word. This is also so very prevalent today. We see it in the world, but we also see it in the church. Don't join in with that. Don't mock others. That's so prevalent on social media, mocking. And so he said, don't join in with that. Don't join in the company of mockers. Now, we get into verse 2, we're told what to do. We're told in verse 1, we're not to walk, we're not to stand, and we're not to sit. But in verse 2, we're told what to do. Verse 2 of Psalm 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or we could say today the word of God. And in his law, or in God's word, he meditates day and night. And this is what I really wanted to get to today. So I really pray that you catch this and get this. The blessed man, the blessed woman will delight in the word of God. And in the word of God, the blessed person will do what? Will meditate day and night. Now, again, we have to address that, our terms and our words here. You know, meditation, sometimes people shy away from that because they associate it with Eastern religions and things like that. But there's a scriptural, which I'm going to explain to you exactly what it is, a scriptural form of meditation that every Christian should be involved in and engaged in, at least every person that wants to live the blessed life. Amen? So the blessed person will meditate in the Word day and night. So instead of filling our minds with ungodly counsel and advice and sinful and mocking ways, we're to fill our thoughts with God's Word day and night. And this is what a Bible teacher named Tommy Thompson wrote. I did some research and found this. I thought it was a really good explanation. He says this: to meditate in the original Hebrew language of the Old Testament, it means to mutter and to ruminate. To mutter and to ruminate. Two images arise. The first is a person who's walking around muttering under their breath as if he cannot stop obsessing over a thought. What are y'all laughing about? Is that you? All right, well, you're on the right track now. We just got to make sure it's directed in the right direction. All right, y'all behave back there. Paul, keep those folks in line on your row, please. All right. The second image, the first one is somebody going around talking to themselves, muttering, obsessing over a thought, okay? The second is the image of a cow chewing its cud. Anybody ever seen that? Do you know they did that for 8 hours a day? What is that? That's the ruminating part. The cow chewing its cud. The idea, in the terms of meditation, the idea that you're thinking about, the concept you're thinking about, whatever you're thinking about, is chewed, swallowed, regurgitated, chewed again, and swallowed until it's thoroughly absorbed. That's what a cow does. It chews the cud, swallows it, brings it back up, chews it some more, you know, and the process goes on till that cow has absorbed every bit of nutrients out of that grass. All right? So reading the Bible, anybody believe in reading the Bible? We read the Bible. Reading the Bible is like the cow first eating the grass. But we've just gotten started when we read the Bible. We need to meditate on it. We need to think about it. We don't just need to read it and say, okay, I've checked that off. I've done that, you know, for today, and go about our way. We need to think about what we've read. We need to take one verse or two verses out of, maybe you read a chapter or two chapters or whatever. Take one verse, two verses, and begin to think about that. And bring it back up and think about it again. Day and night, he says. Day and night. All right. Now again, this doesn't apply to you if you don't want to live the blessed life. But if you do, then this is an essential. Amen? Meditating is the practice of muttering and ruminating, chewing the cud on Scripture. It is the most complete form of internalizing God's Word. So here's how we do this. We read a Scripture, like I said, maybe, and just take a verse or two. Read it out loud. Read that verse out loud. Read that Scripture out loud. Think about it. Does that change your life? Did that change your life? I believe you said something about that the other day. Meditating in the Word, Noel gave us a great testimony the other day. That changed his life, turned his whole life around. Learning to do this years ago. Am I telling the truth today? All right, amen. Read it out loud. Think about it. Ask yourself, what does that Scripture mean? And then ask yourself this, what difference will it make in my life if I really believe this? What different? How does this change? How does this verse, how does this change my life? That's when you're adding faith to it. That's when you're saying, you know, this is not just some nice verse. This is not just for my neighbor. This is for me. You know, Brother Hagin, again, used to train us in a great way. He would say, point to yourself and say, the Bible is God speaking to me. Okay? And so how does it change my life? How does this verse change my life? What this says right here, this verse, how does it change what circumstances are going on in my life today, if I really believe this? Amen? One passage, fully believed, can change your life forever. The Copelands used to say it this way, and probably still do, one word of God, one word from God can change your life forever. Meditate on a promise from God until you see yourself with it. Meditate on a promise from God. Meditate on the Word of God until you see yourself with that. It's one thing to read, by His stripes I was healed. It's another thing to meditate on that to the degree that you see yourself healed. That you're not, oh, I know God's going to heal me one day. That you're not trying to get it, but you see yourself well. You see yourself whole. Amen? It's exactly what God told Joshua when Joshua assumed command of the nation of Israel after Moses died. Joshua 1 verse 8. God gives him instruction. Here's how you're going to accomplish this seemingly overwhelming task of leading 3 million people into the promised land. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, keep it in your mouth. Just like that cud doesn't depart from the cow's mouth until it chews it up for 8 hours and then it finally swallows it finally for the final time. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. When? Day and night. What's that going to produce when you meditate on it day and night? That you may observe. Well, what's another word for observe? See. That you may see yourself doing it. That you may observe to do. That you may see yourself doing it so you can do it. That you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Hallelujah. Amen. So, again, when we meditate on it, then we see ourselves with it so that we can do it. In the New Testament, we find this in Colossians 3, verse 16. Look at what it says here. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you, how? Richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know what they would do, Clint, in New Testament times, in the early church, even before they had the full written New Testament, they would take the truths that Jesus had taught and the truths that the apostles were teaching, and they'd turn them into songs. And they would teach them to the people, and they would start singing those songs. And it's just like it is today. Do you ever listen to a song or sing a song, and you get that thing in your mind for days at a time? That song keeps playing in your head? That ever happened to anybody? Amen. You see, you were meditating before you didn't even realize what you were doing. That's what this is. That's what you're doing. That's letting the Word dwell in you richly. See, the more a cow chews the cud, the richer the milk it gives. Amen. So he brings it over in the New Testament too. This is it. Letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Praise God. And you say, well, that just sounds too complicated, Pastor. I just don't think I could do that. That I don't know if I'm disciplined enough to do that. I don't know if I can do it. Well, let me help you with this. See, you're actually like they blamed Kelsey on, you're actually doing this already. You're actually doing this. We call it worry. We call it worry. We've been doing it, most of us have been doing it in the negative. This is exactly what we do when we worry. We get a thought, we think about, oh no, this is going to happen, this might happen, and we start thinking about that and thinking about that, and we start seeing ourselves with that bad experience or that bad situation or that bad outcome, and we start talking to ourselves and saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh no. Oh no, this is going to happen. Oh no, what am I going to do? Oh no, what am I going to do? You're muttering, you're meditating, but just on the wrong thing. Just turn it around. If you can't think of anything else, start with this. Goodness and mercy are following me all the days of 2023. In the morning when you get up and you think, oh no, it's Monday, and think about all the stuff you've got to do and your bills and your responsibilities and what might go wrong, instead stop and say, no, wait a minute. Goodness and mercy are following me all the days of 2020. Don't just say it one time to say, okay, I said it. But start meditating on that. Start thinking, how does this change my life? If goodness and mercy are following me, that means I'm going to have a good day. Amen. That means blessings are coming my way. Woo. That means God has my back. Yep. Amen? Amen? Praise God. So let's just turn it around. Somebody said it this way, worry the Word. Worry, if you're going to worry, worry the Word. You know how to worry, just start worrying the Word. Oh, instead of saying, oh no, this is going to happen to me. Oh, praise God, this is going to happen to me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, this is going to happen to me. This is going to happen to me. You know, this is going to happen to me. Amen? All right, let's look at verse 3. Keep going here in Psalm 1. Verse 3 says, hey, when we do this, person that does this, that meditates in the Word day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's what meditating in God's Word will do for you. Praise God. Number one, it'll give you stability. Meditating in the Word of God will give us stability. We won't be yo-yo Christians anymore. You know what a yo-yo Christian is? Up and down. Up and down. Hallelujah. Oh, no. No. We'll be stable. We'll have stability. Jeremiah says it also like this in chapter 17, verse 8. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which spreads out its roots by the river, and look at this, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease from yielding fruit. See, meditating in God's Word causes us to put down roots in God. Brings stability. And he's talking about the tree planted by the river here, that even though there's drought all around, that tree has put down roots and it's drawing up the moisture out of the ground because it's beside the river there. Amen. And so when we do this, when we put down roots in God, we won't fear when heat comes. We won't fear when adversity comes. We won't be anxious in a year of drought. We won't cease to yield fruit. In other words, we won't be moved by outward circumstances. And I think that's probably the key characteristic of a person that is learned to and is put into practice meditating the Word of God. They're not moved by outward circumstances. They're not moved by a bad report. In fact, we're going to read about that here when we get to Psalm 112. And then the second thing he mentions back in Psalm 1, verse 3, is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. There we go. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Praise God. And we already talked about his leaf doesn't wither. And whatever he does will prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. Praise God. Does that sound like a good deal? Does that sound like something we all want?
Amen.
Amen. You know, sometimes I see stuff on Facebook from supposed ministers that say, in the next 30 days, your financial situation is going to turn around and you're going to have great abundance. Well, maybe. But not just because that so-called minister posted it on Facebook. If I don't do anything, or it gets even worse. Share this. Everyone that shares this is going to get a financial miracle. As Brother Hagin used to say, that's ignorance gone to seed. Oh, all right. Where are we at? Psalm 112. Let's go to Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Some of y'all are going to have to go through and delete some of your social media posts now. I'm kidding. I've not seen anybody in this church. You've been trained better. Anybody in this church fall for any of that? All right. So now you know. Okay. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Now, he doesn't specifically mention meditation here, but we can easily assume it when he says, this man delights greatly in God's commandments. And here he adds in, fears the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, which is a whole other message in and of itself, but we'll just say this. What does the fear of the Lord mean? It doesn't mean to be afraid of God. It doesn't mean to withdraw from God. It basically means that a person is more concerned about what God thinks than about what people think.
Amen.
That's a good way to think of the fear of the Lord. We're more concerned about what God thinks than we are concerned about what people think. And then we go straight in here to the blessings and the benefits of meditating in the Word, delighting greatly in the Lord's commandments. Verse 2 says this. It says, his descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. In the New Living Translation, it says it this way. Their children, whose children? The person who delights greatly in God's commands, the person who will meditate in the Word of God so that he can see himself doing it and then goes and does it and acts on it. That's living out the Word of God in our everyday life. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. Praise God. Verse 3, it says, wealth and riches will be in his house. Like I said before, wealth and riches won't be in your house just because you share this post. Or just because that so-called prophet or whoever said, in the next 30 days, your financial situation is going to turn around. No, it'll happen when you delight greatly in God's commands and walk in them. Amen. Wealth and riches will be in His house. God wants you to prosper. God wants wealth and riches to be in your house. God doesn't have a problem with that. Amen. And His righteousness endures forever. Praise God. Verse 4. I love this one. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. In times of, for the person who delights greatly in God's commands, the person who meditates in the Word of God, the person who thinks more about what God, or is more concerned about what God says about him than what others say about him, that person, in times of uncertainty, in times of darkness, in times where you can't see a way forward, because we all face those times. See, a blessed person, a blessed man, a blessed woman is not a person who never experiences any attacks or never experiences any trials. We will all experience those things. The storm will come. Jesus, in the parable of the houses, the two houses, confirms this as well. He said, the person who hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The wind came, the storm came. Storm came to the wise guy, to the wise man, wise person, who heard the word and did the word. Storm came, but that person stood. The person that heard the word but didn't do anything with it, Jesus said, that's like someone building their house on sand. The storm came and their house fell, and great was its fall. And so storms come to all of us. Attacks come to all of us. And so when that time of uncertainty comes, when that time of darkness comes, when that time where you can't see a path forward, it seemingly, you know what, and you don't know what to do, God promises here, put verse 4 back up there again, Kim, if you would. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. Glory to God. Light will arise. If you've meditated in the Word of God, if you put the Word of God in your heart, and it seems like it's a dark situation, you know what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit is going to bring Scripture to your remembrance, and you say, ha ha. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to wonder what to do. I know what to do. The Word says this, and the Word says this, and I'm standing on the Word, and I'm going to do this, and it will see you right through to victory. Amen. 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 Praise God. And then again, the last part of that verse, it says, He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. And so we see when we delight greatly in God's commands, when we meditate in the Word, it's not just for our benefit, but it begins to shape our character. And it will. When we meditate in the Word of God, it will shape our character, and it will govern the way that we treat other people. And another thing, it will actually make us more like God. It'll make us God-like. We'll begin to think like God thinks. We'll have this begin. When I say make us like God, I don't mean it makes us God. Don't twist that. Don't misunderstand that. But it causes us to have the same nature as God. But the Bible says we do. When we're born again, we've been made partakers of the divine nature. But when we ingest His Word, meditate in His Word, and let the Word change our thinking, we begin to think like God thinks. We begin to have the same heart that our Father has. And He is gracious. And He is full of compassion. And He is righteous. And so are we. And so are we. That's what He says, this righteous man, this man, blessed man in Psalm 112. He's gracious, He's full of compassion, and He's righteous. It goes on in verse 5. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. So it shapes our character. It causes us to be people of integrity and people of compassion and people that extend grace. Don't you want to be that kind of person? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes people, we don't enter in there because we're too busy scraping and clawing, trying to survive ourselves. But if we begin to live a blessed life, then we can begin to turn our focus not inward but outward. How can I be a blessing to someone? How can I show compassion to someone? How can I be gracious to others? That's where God wants us to get to. Verse 6, surely he will never be shaken. The person that meditates in God's word, the person that delights greatly in God's commands, he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not, verse 7, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. Like I said, evil tidings may come and probably will come to all of us, but you don't have to be afraid of them. They don't have to overwhelm you. They don't have to have the final say. Amen. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Praise God. Clint, come on back up if you will. Look at what it says there. It says he'll never be shaken. Go back to verse 6, Kim, for a second. He will never be shaken. He will not be, and then it says he'll not be afraid of evil tidings. Hallelujah. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He'll not be afraid. These are powerful statements. Amen? And again, who are we talking about? Who has this in their life? It's someone that'll delight greatly in God's word. It's someone that will take the time to meditate in God's word and fill their thoughts with God's word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Again, we're not immune from trouble coming our way, but it doesn't have to overwhelm us. It doesn't have to overcome us. He says he'll never be shaken. It says we'll not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? Our heart is steadfast. And it says later, our heart is established. That's what feeding on God's word will do. It will establish your heart. It'll give you stability, like we said earlier. It'll cause us to put down roots in God to where when trouble comes, we won't be shaken. We won't be moved. Amen. Praise God. It'll establish us in faith. It'll establish us in trust and confidence in God. And then verse 8, it says, he will see his desire. Back up to 8 there. He will see his desire upon his enemies. Hallelujah. That's the devil. Our enemy is the devil, right? Our enemy is not other people. We will see our desire upon our enemies. Victory over the devil. A sickness, a disease attacks you. You'll see your desire over that enemy. Healing and health. Hallelujah. Confusion and despair attack you. You'll see your desire over that enemy. Peace and joy. Hallelujah and hope. Amen. Verse 9. It says he's dispersed abroad. He's given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. Again, in the New Living, it says they share freely. This is how it shapes our character. This is how it makes us like God. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence. God wants you to have influence. Instead of imbibing and the counsel of the ungodly, now we've turned this thing around. And now you're, with your life and with your words and with your witness, now you're giving out godly counsel. Now you're showing people an example of how to walk with God and how to live blessed and how to live victorious. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. They will have influence and honor. Praise God. One last verse back in the New Testament. In the book of Romans, in Romans 12, in verse 2, he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Trans. Say, I'm not conformed. I'm transformed. Hallelujah. Do not be con- He's writing to Christians here. He's writing to people that have been born again already, but yet those, he knew those people needed to be transformed. How? In their thinking. See, when you get born again, you still got the same brain, still filled with the same thoughts and thought patterns. That's what we're, what we need to work on. Amen. And here's what will happen. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Yeah, I know I need to do better, Pastor. Yeah, I know I need to do this more. Yeah, I know I need to stop doing that. And yeah, I'm so frustrated with myself. And yeah, I just can't seem to get it. No, not, he doesn't say just by sheer willpower, you just change and be a better Christian. He doesn't say that. That's what we think a lot of times, and we keep ourselves under condemnation. No, he says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How's that transformation going to happen? By the renewing of my mind. By the renewing. See, transformation comes through meditation. Praise God. You ought to put that on your refrigerator. Transformation. Why my refrigerator? Because you're going to be seeing it several times a day. That's why we put stuff on our refrigerator. Yep. Transformation comes through meditation. You want to be a better Christian? Well, you can't just be a better Christian through willpower, but you can be transformed by meditating in the Word of God, by finding promises of God that tell you who you are in Christ. The book, James calls it this, talks about it this way. He says it's a mirror. The Word of God is a mirror. Wonder what I really look like. Well, here's where I go to find out. Here's where you go to find out what you really look like. Hallelujah. And you begin to see yourself that way when you look into the mirror of God's Word and you find those scriptures that talk about who you are in Christ, that you are the righteousness of God, that sin no longer has dominion over you because you're not under the law. But you're under grace. Hallelujah. That greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. And you begin to see yourself that way. Hallelujah. And what happens? You begin to be transformed. You begin to be transformed. You begin to be transformed from someone that's negative and doubtful and just things just don't seem to work out. You begin to be transformed into someone that says, you know, goodness and mercy are following me. Praise God. We use, and you've heard me advocate for it, and I still will and do, and encourage you to get. There's a message by Dr. Mark Rutland and a book that he wrote called, the book's called 21 Seconds to Change Your World. And it's his own personal story and testimony of when he had gotten into a place of great depression and despair, how he began to pray the Lord's Prayer, and pray the 23rd Psalm. And he said he began to pray them dozens and dozens of times a day. And he said, I began to think about every phrase in the Lord's Prayer, every phrase in the 23rd Psalm. And he said, that brought healing to me. Well, what's he doing? He's simply meditating on God's Word. The whole message is that. He took the Lord's Prayer and he took Psalm 23 and he began to meditate on those. And that brought him out of a place of despair. It healed his emotions, restored his soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get a hold of this. We can live a blessed life. God wants us and desires for us to live a blessed life. And he's already put his blessing on us, but it's our wrong thinking that limits us from walking and all that. But we can. We can change our thinking. We can change our thinking through the Word of God by learning to meditate in God's Word. Amen? Amen. Let's do it. Let's be doers of the Word. Let's bow our heads in prayer right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person in this house right now. Father, I pray, Lord, that this message today, this truth from your Word, I pray that it would find lodging in each of our hearts. Mine first of all, Lord. Mine first of all, in every person here. Father, I thank you. Even though people may be anointed to preach or teach God's Word, We're not anointed to live it. We've got to live it just the same way as everybody else. So I'm starting with me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I pray for myself, and I pray for every person here, Lord, that we would take heed to this word today, that we would meditate in your word day and night, that we would keep the word of God in our minds, that we would guard what counsel that we're allowing to come into our lives, and we would fill our minds and fill our thinking and our imagination and our meditation with your great truths, with your great word of life and healing and victory. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. While we're still in an attitude of prayer, if you would, for just another moment, I want to ask, is there anybody here in this auditorium that you've never invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? We talked about Jesus coming back. We sang about it. We will see the King when He comes. And I promise you, He is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready to meet Him? Have you received Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you given your life to Him? If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure about that. I don't know Jesus personally. I don't know Him. I've been to church. I've been around the things of God. But I've never had a point in my life where I've said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I turn from my sin and I give you lordship over my life. If you've never done that, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. You and also here in the auditorium and also those joining us on YouTube. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Pastor, pray for me. I've never given my heart to the Lord Jesus. If that's you, slip up your hand right now. Anybody here? I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus. I don't see anyone in the auditorium here, but I want to address you joining us on YouTube. The Bible tells us very clearly in Romans chapter 3, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means we all need a Savior. We're all broken. And we all need God. We all need a Savior. That Savior is Jesus, God's Son. God so loved us that He sent Jesus. Romans 6 says the wages of sin, because we've all sinned, the wages of sin is death, separation from God for eternity. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We were separated from God, but God loved us so much He didn't want us to stay separated, so He sent His Son. He sent Jesus to die in our place, to die for our sins. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead, proving that He's worthy to save us and give us eternal life. And so He did that for us, and that's a gift that God offers. All we have to do is receive that gift. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. We can't qualify for it by some means. We just simply say yes to Jesus. Romans 10 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, if we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer where you will do that, where you will confess Jesus as your Lord, where you'll believe on Him. I want you to agree with this prayer in your heart. And I'd like for everybody in the auditorium here to pray it, if you would. Just put your hand over your heart and let's pray this for the on behalf of and for the benefit of those joining us on YouTube or here in the podcast. Just pray this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I need a Savior. I recognize that. And I recognize that Jesus is that Savior. Lord Jesus, I call on You now. I confess You as my Lord and my Savior. I turn from my sin. Wash away my sin. Cleanse me from the guilt and the power of sin that has held me. Make me new on the inside. I believe that You are risen from the dead, Jesus. And You are my Lord. I acknowledge You now. And I thank You that I'm saved. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please get in touch with us here at City on a Hill Church. You can go to our website. cityonahillchurch.us, and you can contact us through the website. We'd love to hear from you and be able to follow up with you. Praise God.